Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
And welcome, everybody, to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang with you saying welcome one, welcome all to the show today, especially our surrounding city and state and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, your prayer praises, prayer requests, any of those good things today as we get into the show today. And we'll start it off with the right foot with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for in you we have another way, and in you we also have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you right now, Lord Jesus, that you touch this program. Take the wheel, Lord Jesus, of this program for it's in you, Lord Jesus, that we have your perfect will, your perfect way, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you just take this program. Let all the honor and glory be given to you, Lord Jesus. And we ask right now, Lord Jesus, that you would just have your perfect will and way, Lord Jesus, especially in that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day, Lord Jesus. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, we ask the same blessing to do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then for, Lord Jesus, those dealing with COVID-19 out there, Lord Jesus, first the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you to comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, those dealing with COVID-19 as we speak, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd, situations like we find in Buffalo that just recently happened, and many other wicked, rotten situations like that, Lord Jesus, Lord, you got mail. We need to learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, we see we got Sister Emily on the line with us. How you doing today, Em? Get your coffee, Emily.
I'm in the same club as Six. Kenny?
What'd you say?
I'm in the same club as Brother Six.
Ah. Okay. Meaning you ain't got your coffee.
No, the monster deal. I got one monster of a headache.
All right.
And I know bro's listening, so Bubba, I know what you feel like.
All right, well, let's get on with the program here. We got our scripture reading, so let's take care of that. Amen.
Amen.
This is Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give you good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And this was Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
All right. And that was a good scripture reading. Good for us all to think about. A good little lesson there on prayer, as well as how to treat our neighbor as ourselves. Because if we treat them the way we want to be treated, guaranteed, we wouldn't have situations like we find in Buffalo, wouldn't have George Floyd's, wouldn't have no George Floyd's, definitely none of that stuff. For sure. But once again, those of you that called 243-9617, just press the number 1, and we'll be glad to get your mic open. We're going to get a song on here, and...
Hey, Kenny, got a question for you.
All right.
Do you notice Dad on the board this morning?
Yeah.
Just want to say one thing to Dad. It better get home soon. I miss you.
All right. Well, here we go with our first song, and then we'll see who also is ready to say hi. Amen.
Let's boogie.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child and I'm worth fighting for. No heavy with the weight of my mistakes you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. There's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might you're straightening out my path. Don't think every door. I am your child and I'm worth fighting for.
Nothing can separate me from your love
when there's so much more.
Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard
all you planned for me, and nothing
Amen. And, you know, speaking of that scripture there that Emily read at the very beginning, let me just give you a few pointers on that today as we are having some fun over here. The Bible says there, ask and ye shall receive. A nice way to remember those two scriptures, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask and ye shall receive. It's easy to remember those two by the simple word ask. Ask and ye shall receive. Simple word ask, A-S-K. Ask, A, and ye shall receive. Seek, S, and ye shall find. Knock, K, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, A, shall receive it. And he that seeketh, S, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Those are the two ask verses. So that's an easier way to remember those. A little Bible memory for you. Amen.
Love.
And we do want to say hi to Brother Six Eyes there. We did open your mic there, Six, just in case you wanted to say anything.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Hope you're having a beautiful Sunday.
Amen. And we got you in prayer, Six. We understand how you're feeling today. Had a couple of those ourselves, so I know exactly how you're feeling, my friend.
Yeah.
So you're definitely
like
in my prayers.
Yeah, a little headache today, so thank you all. I'm sitting back enjoying the show. I know it's in good hands. So hope everybody's enjoying this beautiful Sunday.
Six,
yes.
The next song, get out your frog legs and see if you can sing along with this one, okay? There you go.
All right.
Listen. Roger.
And I stand.
Bobby Jones, NSB, and the wonderful voice of Faith Eddie.
We ready to do this?
Nah, man. Everybody's running late.
Are you serious?
Yes.
And I hope they make it.
Oh, they'll make it. They may be late, but they'll make it.
They better make it, because we've got a lot to do.
Love him like I do. Love him like I do. That's why I love him like I do. Love him like I do. Love, love him, love, 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 love.
My folks and friends, listen to these words. See God. saved my soul. When I was just a sinner left in the cold, give me a second chance, save me from myself. Came to my rescue when I needed help.
Yeah.
Amen. And we got Pastor Bonnet with us. Give us one momentary moment to get your mic open, Pastor Bonnet, and we'll have you live. Amen.
There you go.
Amen. We got you, Pastor Bonnet. Welcome, sir.
Hey. Thank you. Thank you. God bless each of you. How's everyone doing on this wonderful, wonderful God-given day?
I'm doing awesome there, Pastor Bonnet. I am blessed and highly favored.
I am here with a headache, but I'm here nonetheless.
Okay. Well, I pray that that headache will subside even now as I speak. And by the end of the message, it will be completely gone in the name of Jesus. And it is so. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Bonnet, that makes two of us on here with heads not feeling too good today.
That's all right. You can receive the same blessing as he. Amen. It is up to you to receive it. I've released it into the atmosphere of faith. Now you just must grab hold and pull it down to you and hold on to it. Amen. Amen. Is it all right for me to go ahead and minister, or do y'all have another song to go?
Nope. Go right ahead. You are on.
All right. I'm excited about this word. This month, we are talking about unity is necessary. Amen. In order for something to go along well, for a group, to do something successful, it must be unified. Jesus taught, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so therefore, there's a necessity for unity. Most of us that are born, we're born with 5 digits on our hand. And if you scratch up your hand, all of your fingers and your thumb will be stretched out together, yet they're connected by the palm of the hand. But that can deliver a slap. May be a little painful, may be a little challenging. But if you take any one of those by themselves, all they can do is point, push, very little. But if you take those 5 digits and you allow them to curl up together to form what we call a fist, now that fist is able to deliver an impact that can even knock someone out. Wait a minute, preacher, are you talking violence? No, I'm talking facts. Because strength is found in true unity. It's when we fully come together. Fully come together. We're on the road to Pentecost, where we're going to be talking about Pentecost. We're going to talk about the upper room. We're going to talk about finally that day when it was on one accord. That's what we're going to talk about, not next week, the week after. But today we want to talk about a unity. I recently preached a message to you all about strengthening unity, that four men had a unified idea. And these four men were determined to get their fake friend to Jesus. And as they were carrying him to Jesus, they met resistance called a full house. Mm-hmm. They had people all at the door. They couldn't get in. So what they did was they went up on the rooftop and pulled back the shingles. the opening of the roof and lowered down their friend in the place where Jesus was ministering. Jesus looked up and saw, the Bible said, their faith, friend's faith, but their faith. And because of their faith, faith for their friend, a miracle in front of everyone took place. And so although this man had to be carried in, the result was he was able to walk out. That's going to bring us to the story I want to share with you today. Those of you that have your Bible, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 3. Amen. This is a wonderful message today. Elder Danny Williams was ministering this, and I don't mind sharing. I told him, I said, man, I'm so glad you ministered this word today. I said, I got to refound some of the things that you said as I share with the people of God, because I understand the plan of God is to be repetitive in refounding what God has said. But there's something typical about this story. Many people that have been around church or in church know this story. Many people have heard preaching concerning this story. But today I want to lay it out to a point on a way that we may reconsider this story. And help, and preferably it will help us to examine our company. Now, I started off talking about the four men that friend was, that had the palsy. He wasn't able to walk, and they had to carry him to Christ, and they had to go through extreme measures to get him to Christ. But here we're going to see a different take on some people that's carrying someone. Once again, we're in the book of Acts, chapter 3. We're going to start there at verse 1. Verse number 1, Acts 3. Resounds as this, and I'm reading the King James Version today. The Bible says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate. Want to bring real close emphasis, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. And was it something that he done to himself? Was it something that he caused upon himself? But this was something that life offered him from the beginning. And from the beginning, this man, when he came to age, when he came to a certain age, they had to carry him. And they carried him, the word says, and laid him daily. This tells us some things. It tells us one of a level of persistency, but it tells us also a level of expectation. So let's look at the text again, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. They took him to church and laid him at the foot of the parking lot. Lord, help us today. They didn't take him on the parking lot, and they didn't take him in the church. But they took him and placed him at the foot of the property, at the opening, at the gate, at the driveway of the property. The Bible said that this gate of the temple was called Beautiful. And so we see here that even the gate had a name that was recognizable by those that saw it. In other words, it looked it good. It had a certain design to it. It had a certain appeal to it that when you spoke on it, people knew what you was going to, what you was talking about. And they took him to this gate called Beautiful, the Bible says, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. They took him and laid him at the beginning of the driveway of the church to beg for a handout, assistance. The Bible says, chapter verse 3, it says, who sent Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. He recognized these two men walking together. And about the ninth hour, which is roughly about 3 o'clock, the third prayer for the Jews that day. And so here it is, they're entering into the temple to pray. And this man, he sees Peter and John about to go into the temple, and he asked alms of them. In verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John. In other words, they turned and paid attention to this man. And originally, they were going about their business, but from hearing something from him, they turned to him and gave him attention. To those of you that don't realize I'm preaching already, many of us go to church, but we don't turn and pay attention to those that are in need. And the Bible says here that Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. So, in other words, the man was begging, and he was begging, but he wasn't really looking. He must have had a posture of humility where his head was down and too ashamed to look, because he had been there day in and day out. Day after day, he's there begging. So he's on the ground, and he's laying there, because he can't walk, so he's either laying or sitting there in a position where he can't move himself far from that. And his hand is lifted out, stretched out towards people as they walk by, asking for help. This time, this is not the ordinary time. This is not just another day going to church. But this time it took place after Pentecost. Lord, help me to preach this. It took place after chapter 2. chapter 2 took place and an explosion took place where the Holy Spirit showed up and showed out. And so we're in chapter 3, and we see here Peter and John now have the Holy Ghost. They have the precious gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of them. Many people say that they have the Holy Ghost, but if you say you have the Holy Ghost, what are you doing with him? That would be my question. That would be my question. Are you looking upon those that need a touch? Are you looking upon those, and how are you looking upon those? Mm-hmm. So he says to them, look on us. It's amazing. He didn't say, look at me, because he was with somebody. He said, look on us, because us now include the Holy Spirit. He said, look on us, and verse 5 said, and he gave heed to them. In other words, he began to pay attention to what he was saying. Preachers, we're preaching Sunday in and Sunday out, day in and day out. We're ministering the word wherever we go, but are we ministering to a point where people can pay a heed, can pay attention to what we're about to say? Mm-hmm. We have to realize that people are paying attention, so what we say do matter. Uh-huh. Whether you're or male or female, or if you're ministering the word of truth by the word of God, people are listening to the words that are coming out of your mouth. And so the question began to say, what are you saying out of your mouth? When people hear you, man of God, woman of God, and you're not at the podium, what are they hearing you say? What words are coming out of your mouth that they are paying attention to? What words that are coming out of your mouth, brother, when people listen to you talking about your bosses, talking about your spouses? What words are coming out of your mouth when people hear you talking about the world today? Uh-huh. And so he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something. Because oftentimes, before, when somebody got ready to give him something, they probably wanted him to beg a little bit more. They probably wanted him to acknowledge who they were. They probably wanted him to recognize that they had on fancy clothes, nice shoes. And so he had an initiation of just looking up. But this day he had an encounter like he had never had before. This day he encountered two men that was touched by the Holy Ghost. Not only were they touched by the Holy Ghost, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. And so when he looked upon them to receive something, the very first word that came out of Peter's mouth almost probably made him want to bow his head one more time. Because Peter said, silver and gold have I none. And his first notion might have been, oh, what, you going to give me something to eat? What? Silver and gold have I none. But, thank God for the but such as I have, give out to thee. We got to come back to that. So he says, such as I have. Mm-hmm. That means you can't give something that you don't got.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give you healing if I don't have healing. Oh, my God. That's why I was able to speak to Brother Charles in the beginning and Sister Emily also. I could speak healing to them because I have healing and working on the inside of me. And because I have it, I have the ability to also give it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The Bible tells us what we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What we bound on earth shall also be bound in heaven. That can bind sickness, and heaven will back me up. And I can loose wholeness, and heaven will back me up. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. And so, see, that Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none. That we don't have that kind of currency on us today. We don't have that. But such as I have, give I thee. What do you have, sir? What I have is a change maker. What I have is a redeemer. What I have is the creator of you and I. What I have is a master mechanic. What I have is the master painter. What I have is the master sculptor. What I have is him who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or even think. So they had something down on the inside because they paid attention to when Christ told them, stay here in Jerusalem until I send you the comforter. Yeah. So Peter and John was able to be comforted and to give this man comfort because they had the comforter down on the inside of them because they just had the encounter. And we see here, the Bible says, in the name. It's something about the name. In a world now that we're driven, name-driven, we're talking to your world. You want FUBU, you want Louis Vuitton, you want Tommy Hill, you want this, you want that, you want all of these name brands. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing how we're making these name brands rich. But none of that richness comes back to bless you. You spend your whole check to buy a pair of tennis shoes that you wear out in 6 months. But you make no money from it. You make no benefit from it. And only just to say you got a pair.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't put nothing in the offering plate. Jesus to give you life. You ask him to give you your job. You ask him to restore your health. But yet you'll go and spend top dollar on a jacket that you can only wear 3 seasons, 3 months, whatever. You spend a month's salary trying to buy clothes, skipping paying your bills for a name. So what's in a name? Well, I found out that there is a name above every name. I found out there's a name that can move mountains. There's a name that can make a way out of no way. I found out some time ago that there's a name that can bring peace to a troubled mind. I found out there's a name that can bring healing to a broken heart. I found out that there's a God that has a name that's power to exceed beyond the condition of your birth.
You might have been born poor. You might have been born without this and without that. But there is a name that's greater than all the names of our universe. There's a name that far exceeds Atlas. They said that Atlas holds the world on his shoulders. But my God holds the world in the palm of his hand. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He said in the name of Jesus. Not just Jesus, but Jesus Christ. That's the anointing. Nazareth. That's where he came up from. Rise up, oh my God. In other words, I didn't want you to be confused. And think I was talking about Jesus, your next door neighbor. Didn't want you to think that I was talking about Jesus over there. But I'm talking about the one that is the Christ, the promise that was going to be given to all mankind. I'm talking about the one who fulfilled promise in Nazareth. I'm talking about him, the greatest gift that man ever received, and that is the love of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And so in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. Now, this is how you bless somebody. You say something good when you're talking to them. And so he says, rise up and walk. See, I know you had to be carried here because you can't walk. And so, in other words, I don't know how you got here. And it doesn't even matter to me why you here. All I know is this too shall pass. You can get up from this. You may have fallen, and your falling may have been hard. It may have been difficult, and it may be shameful. But I firmly noticed today that I don't care how far down you are, God will come and get the one. We are taught that the good shepherd will leave the 99 sheep and go get the one that is lost. And you may feel lost right now. You may feel abandoned right now. But I want you to know that Christ will come to see about you, the singular you, the one you, and he will strengthen your walk. You may have tried this Christian faith before. You may have tried to live a holy life and may have found yourself to be unsuccessful. But I firm notice to you today, if you truly get Jesus down on the inside, he will strengthen your walk with him. He will strengthen your understanding with him. He will strengthen that which is in you to give you strength to stand, and not only to stand, but to move forward to fulfill the promises that he has for you. Peter and John, looking at a man that his condition was all out of his control. In fact, the routine for him is the group that carried him. It's amazing that we go to worship three times a day, culture, but I put you at the gate and never bring you in. It's amazing how people will allow you to hang out, but they never bring you in. You ever gone to somebody's house and they come outside and you've been knowing them for a long time? Every time you come over, they come out. They never invite you in. There's some inner circles like that in life where they will only carry you so far. They don't mind carrying you because their carrying you does a few things for them.
It gives them where they can pat themselves on the back and say, at least we took him this far, carry you out of their sight so they don't have to deal with you for a moment. Some of us have not worn out our welcome. We never was really received as welcome. They didn't mind that we was lame, but we just couldn't be lame in their company. So they took us to a gate. They pushed us off to the mail room. Never invited us upstairs. There are some things that people will carry you. And that's why it's so important to have the right company. Because the right company, as we just discussed earlier, there was a company of men that was determined, we're going to get you to Jesus. Why? Because you are in a state that's not good for you. Doesn't matter how you got here, you can't be productive on your own. And some people don't mind you making a little money as long as you just don't make more than them. A gate called beautiful. That's how I really look at programs. Because it takes you to a gate, but it really don't let you in. There's people that are in need, and the stimulus was there. It was a help. But somebody needed a job. Somebody needed a career. Somebody needed more education. Somebody needed to finish their education. It's amazing that jobs all throughout America right now have signs, help wanted. But yet we still have people standing on the highways, corners where the lights are, begging. Amazing. I've even seen now, it used to be mainly men out there begging. I see now the women joining the fight. And this is not a throw off on those that are begging. But where is the circle? Where is the friendship that will take them into the temple? You hear me talking about going to church. I hear many people saying, you don't have to go to church to serve God, but you do have to be the church to serve God. And it is the idea of church that has lost people. The church was supposed to be an entity of doctors and nurses. Church was supposed to be the entity where people that are sick can come and be well, come and be made whole. But you condemn the church. So therefore, you're still broken. You're still incomplete. Because you have condemned it. Every reason. Doesn't matter your reason. The scripture says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. The ecclesia was set by Christ himself. We read over in Ephesians where the Bible tells us, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Pump them brakes there. Next week, the Lord willing, we're going to come back and minister from that point. Still dealing with unity. He gave us a parallel understanding. Christ, number one, loved the church. And he loved the church that he gave his life for the church. So therefore, the church is not the building. The church is the people. You and I are the people, for we are, as believers, the body of Christ. We are the church. And it is called upon us in Scripture to come together. Unity. Why? Because we can do more. You by yourself, all you can do is poke the devil. If you get lucky, you might poke his eye. A few of us, we may be able to slap it. But when we are unified, we can draw that fist. And we can strike a blow that would tear down the devil's demonic activities. But if we're so focused on judging one another and nurses, not judges and prosecutors, not judges and prosecutors. That's where the body of Christ is. I'm reading again. The Bible says, and he took him by the right hand. That right hand signifies the hand of strength. It signifies covenant relation. And he took him by the right hand. Didn't push him. And lift him up. That means he connected with him on a level of faith. And he transferred the anointing that was in him to this man. You know, nowadays we have things like Zelle and Cash App and different things that you can have on your phone. PayPal, and when you want to connect your money, which is a representation of strength, to strengthen someone else's efforts or deeds, you can connect with them by extending your right hand. Connect with them that will give them strength. And that connection transfers what you have, not what you're crying about, not what you're going to have, but what you do have. And it connects what you do have to someone else who may have but need more. And a lot of times we don't want to give to things that seem like they got more because we have that stingy bug from the beginning, and we have that misknowledge bug of misunderstanding, because we don't understand to whom much is given, much is required. So if I give and add to you much, there's a requirement on you to do more. Our problem is we want more, but we do less. We're still praying, Lord, enlarge my territory, but we won't clean up the one we got right now. So we're asking God to make a bigger garbage field. Verse 7 says, and he took him, Peter, took him, the beggar. Who are we touching? Saints, Christians, believers. Some of us have got so high that we don't touch nobody low. Oh, he don't smell right. We didn't smell right neither. I ain't never smelled like that. Your sin did. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our sin was as a filthy rag. And so, amen. And so our sin left a stench in the nostrils of God the Father. But Christ said, my blood is purified. It's untainted. It has not been tainted with sin. Therefore, the smell of it is still pure. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my blood as a transfusion, as a transference, so that you no longer stink before God, so that you'll be able to stand in the presence of God. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, somebody say right away, how's that word immediately mean? Then. And immediately his feet and ankle bone, because he was lame from birth. That means when the other babies was crawling around and scooting and trying to stand up on the furniture, he couldn't do it. He probably never got past crawling. Therefore, his ankle bones and the tissues and muscles surrounding that area never had strength. But immediately, what he never had, or what that he had that was not developed, let me say it that way, because what he had was there, but it wasn't developed. What he had wasn't grown, still in its seed form. And sometimes we are stuck like that. Our belief system is stuck in seed form because we haven't allowed it to germinate. That germination is a dying process in order to live. A seed must die in order to live. That germination process is the resurrection of a seed. And when we receive salvation, we receive the resurrection of our spirit men and women. We receive that resurrection. We once was lost. We once was blind. We once was dead. But now we're alive. Now we can see. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones receive strength. And he, leaping up, stood. In other words, he felt something down on the inside. And because of what he heard, because he paid attention to them, and because of what he felt, because he believed them, he didn't begin to operate in doubt. You think I should stand? You think I can do it? And a lot of times that's where our fall is, because we go around asking folks that will only take us to a gate, can we do it? And they'll tell you, well, ain't nobody else around there doing it. I wouldn't go and get in debt if I was you. I wouldn't do this if I was you. I move from that circle. We so trying to make our circle so big. That's why we on Facebook and Twitter and everything, trying to add numbers to people that we say we know, and you don't know them people. Sometimes we need to get rid of our circle and just be a dot. That's all the roundness you need. One, somebody you can confide into, and they can confide in you. One, somebody that even if you start talking crazy, they'll listen to you. But when you finish talking, they'll let you know, hey, all of that you said was crazy. And you won't be so, you just don't understand. You'll receive them. If your friend can't tell you that was dumb and crazy, then you truly haven't received them as a friend. They may be your friend, but you haven't received them as your friend, because you should want your friend to tell you the open, honest truth. You should not want your friend to make you feel good. And too often times, we build friendships on a circle of how I feel. Let me tell you about that circle of how I feel. That's heart-driven. The Bible said the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Wait a minute. If my heart is wicked, that means I'm driven by my heart. I can be driven into wickedness. So where is your circle carrying you? If you always got to be the one to borrow money, if you always got to be the one asking for a handout, always. If you are always the one that they got to give advice to, and you can never give it back, where is your circle carrying you? Where is your group carrying you? You're by yourself. Ask your feet, where are you carrying me? Because the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Still begging, then what led me there? Because David said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. His seed is that's living righteous. In other words, your righteous living should never lead you to begging. Don't mean you won't ask. But there's a difference between asking and begging. See, asking assists me in my own efforts of making it to where I'm going. Begging of hoping and receiving what you'll let go. There's a difference. between asking and begging. Notice the text says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given. Don't say beg. It doesn't say beg. But every illustration that we get from those that are begging, they are in a condition where they feel lost. Because they are. And it's only when they transform from that state upward can they really no longer become dependent. See, before that day, this man was a burden and a dependent. He depended on what his family would do. He depended on others carrying him to the church gate. Depended on that. But this day, because he was stripped, he's no longer a dependent. He's interdependent. He's dependent. Now he can take care of himself, and he can take care of others. Some of us will never make it beyond that point because we always want somebody to do for us. We don't take opportunities or look for opportunities to do for someone else. Somebody said to me about a comment and say, man, you short, but you can reach all of that stuff. I say, that's because I don't give myself an excuse. I learned a long, long, long time ago, whenever you give yourself an excuse, you stop your own potential. Do I have limitations? Absolutely. But my limitation will be greater if I didn't try. And because I tried, my limitations are few. I didn't know I can do that. Thank God you tried. And now you know. So James told us to consider or to count it all joy when, not if, when we fall into diverse temptations. Because it allows us to know what God is able to do through us. It allows us to know and to testify to others that he done this for me and allowed me to accomplish this. And just like he allowed me to accomplish this, he can do the same for you. Because his love for me is the same as his love for you. The beauty that while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means we was all wretched and no good. So I can't sit here and talk about you when I was wretched and no good myself. Preacher, you should say everybody ain't wretched. Wretched. But don't say that, preacher. Get over yourself because now you're thinking about yourself. We all was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And maybe your actions wasn't on the level of condemnation as others, but it's still condemnation. All those that do not receive Christ as Lord and Savior, their condemnation is the same. Hell. No, I ain't cussed, Brother Charles. I'm talking about the literal hell. The wages of sin is death. Death is described in two forms in the Bible. One, it is separation from God. place of torment. That second death is after being judged by that same God, that the same, that torment that you was in, now going to be cast into a lake of fire, increasing your suffering. There you will be for all eternity. Here's a small attempt to explain eternity. Times 1,000 millennia. So a millennia is 100 years. So 1,000 years times 1,000 years. When that has passed, eternity still will be in its infant stages. That's how long eternity is. Going to hell was 100 years. There's some things I might go to hell for. Yeah. There's some people that I would just let loose on. There's some things that I probably would have done that I ain't going to say over there. But hell is too hot and eternity is too long. So why play with it? The wages of sin is death. He's separation. Complete separation. Not just from the body. Your soul and its body. But your soul and its creator. Separated. Period. That's a long time. The strength is unity is in its togetherness. We saw one group, their unity brought healing to a man. But another group, their unity only brought the man to the gate that he may still be a beggar. It begs the question, where are we carrying people? Are we carrying people to the gate? Or are we carrying them inside the temple, the place to worship? Are we ensuring that they get to Jesus like the four men? Are we certain that they get in the presence of God? That's intentional. So what are we doing when we lead others? Because we're leading somebody, because somebody's following. You may think that you are insignificant. You may think that your life's not that important. But Jeremiah 29:11 declares for us, I know my thoughts towards you, declare the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you an expected end. That's good news. That's good news. That's good news to let me know that God want me to be blessed. That good news to let me know that God has put something in me for the world. And it's my job to get it out. It's my job. It is not my job to bury it and to hold on to it till he comes. But it is my job to discover it, to uncover it, to utilize it to bring glory to his name. until today. As I bring this message to a close, don't just allow people to bring you to a gate called beautiful. Get up and go into the temple. Get up and allow God to strengthen your ankles, your legs, and even your bones. Because he will do it if you let him. The song said God wants to heal you everywhere you hurt. He wants to provide for you. So allow him to do it, because he can do what no one else can consistently. God bless you. God keep you. Missionary Ken, Brother Charles, I return the station back over to you all's wonderful capable hands. I thank you once again for the awesome opportunity to share with these listeners here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless you. Thank you for giving me a little extra time today to come on the line. It has been a pleasure. I enjoy you all. Looking forward to talking with some of you all tomorrow night. Those of you that are able, please join me tomorrow night on the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. 9 o'clock, you all's time. If you're in my time zone, which is central, it'll be 8 o'clock. If you're in California, it'll be 6. So God bless you. God keep you. Look forward to seeing you later. Yeah. Amen.
Now, amen. Now, will you sing for us tomorrow, being that it's Motivational Monday?
It's very well possible I will sing. And I have a new friend that's a friend of yours. I'm thinking about having her to do some hymn notes for me moving forward. Because one of the things about the old hymns, the hymns always put us in a remembrance of the wonderful things of God. Something that the early church used to do, and I say early, not the early church in the 3rd century, but early in my life, in the 19th century, they used to do hymns. And the congregation of songs was to keep us unified and to remind us of the blessings and gifts of God and the mercy of God and the love of God and the generosity of God. And we've gotten away from doing hymn songs. We want, you know, a lot of churches now want to do the new upbeat songs of today, you know. And we're not knocking that. The Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. So they're doing what they're supposed to do. But we have to remember that God is not just good today. He was good yesterday. Amen. So let us remember our yesterday, that he was good then, and so he's going to be good now.
Amen. All right, so y'all make sure y'all check him out tomorrow. Now, my takeaway from today, now, it's kind of hard because you and I being public figures, it's kind of hard to keep our circle small because people are drawn to us. So it's kind of hard. If I could, I would remain a dot. But I believe I'm an exception to the rule because Amen. I am to inspire the world with my voice, my music, and our platform. So I'm exempt from that.
You are included in that. Let me share something with you. Every sentence, at the end of every sentence, for the majority of them, there's a dot. mm-hmm. call a period.
Yes.
And so we have periods of moment
okay.
to establish impact in the lives of people.
Okay.
And we are so powerful to that the exclamation point is not an exclamation point without us. And even the question mark is not a question mark without us. That's the dot. Now take
okay.
that.
That is true.
So the dot can be impactful on levels we can't even imagine.
Yes.
Remove the two dots from your time.
Okay.
And see what you have. Remove the
yes.
dot from your monetary amount and see what you have. We
yeah.
make the difference as a dot.
Amen. Amen.
And more to the point, move the dots from your braille cell and you'd have no braille.
Absolutely. There'd be no feeling. In other words, no revealing. Hey, glory.
Got to have some way to let your fingers do the walking.
Amen, amen, amen. Anybody else got a takeaway on today? I'm not at the board, so I don't know how many people are on there. We're
technically, you got Emily, you got six, and you got us that have
amen.
Pressed the number one. And my takeaway, Pastor Bonnet, was you were talking about the four men in comparison to the two men there in Acts chapter 3. And what was interesting is when you think about the four men, even though it was a full house, he had four aces in the hole.
I like that. That's for our non-gamblers. That makes a difference.
Yeah, he had right four now. Aces in the hole. That's why he won.
Oh, wow.
Even though there was a full house against him, he still had four aces in the hole, and that's why he won.
Wow.
You can take
wow.
that and preach with
like
that later sometime.
Well, I don't know. The first thing about cards, I don't like cards. I hate them. Never played them. Never played them. Never understood the game.
That's why you're missing that whole point. A full house will be a full house. The hand of cards will have five cards. And so you will have two of a kind or three of a kind that will be a full house. Three of a kind or two of a kind in different sets that are not sequential. And that
okay.
will make a full house. And that's nice. But aces is high, and they have four of them. It outdo the full house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little poker humor. Poke.
Okay.
And what's funny is I knew that even though I've never played poker myself.
I think that there's a country song. We know Johnny Cash got the one say you got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em.
No,
and
that was Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers. Not John Cash.
It's called
and,
The Gambler.
Uh-huh. And so you got a couple songs out there that deal with a couple secular songs out there that kind of deal with it. So you ain't got to play it to kind of know it. And we're not advocating gambling, people. We're not advocating gambling, but I teach gambling on more levels than rolling a dice or playing cards. because there's more to gambling than that. People that condemn the gambling don't realize that you can gamble with your life. And it's not a game. You know, if you drink and drive, you're gambling with your life. So there's more ways to gamble. If your doctor has told you that pork is not good for you because of your health condition and you say, I got to have it, you're gambling with your life. And so to those that like to jump on the bandwagon and condemn those that gamble, gambling is a game of chance. And you're taking a chance. The sin in gambling is when you take your wherewithal that is needed to provide for you all and take a chance on another system. It simply means you left the godly system that provided for you and you put your trust in another system that may or may not provide for you.
Come on, brother. Come on.
And so you have to have the right understanding.
Oh, wow. Look who you brought out the woodwork.
Michael Jordan can go to the casino and he can gamble away $100,000 and say he had a wonderful, fun night. And didn't win nothing. He lost it all. He wasn't gambling to win. He didn't place his faith on winning. I could take $100 that I need to pay my utility bill and go to the arcade and say I'm bored, I'm going to have me some fun. And I went to the arcade and I spent $100. I stayed in the arcade all day long playing games. Well, even though they are not quote-unquote gambling, that's what I did. I gambled. But in that gamble, I delivered what was delivered to me to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that in itself is the sin because now I can't provide what I should have been able to provide. And I didn't help meet the needs of the kingdom. The reason why we are to be the lenders and not the borrowers is because we have something to lend. But if I spend everything I get, then I have missed that mark too. So it's deeper than that when it comes down to it. There's so much more. Accountability is a key element to spiritual maturity. Can God trust you with more money, more things? And sometimes the answer is no. And it doesn't mean God don't love you. He just knows that giving you more is going to cause you to wreck yourself somewhere down the line. So you only have what you have. But our God works in overflow, excess. Plant one seed. The apple tree grows. It produced 100. Countless fruit on that one tree, and in the fruit is more than one seed. That's an abundant God. So we have to retrain the way we think about things. Now I'm going to stop right there because that's a whole nother sermon, and we got our bloodhound of scripture to go and so much more.
Amen. And Pastor Bonnet, you were also talking about in your message about the days of eternity and the years of eternity. Well, your example was a good one, but someone else gave an example of the years of eternity. And he said, if you take all of, you start out with all of the leaves on all the trees that ever been since the creation of the world, you multiply that number by the every grain of sand that's ever been on every seashore, and then you multiply that number by every human being that's ever lived on this planet since Adam, then you multiply that number that you find by every hair on every human and every animal that's ever lived, and then you multiply that number by every animal that's ever lived, and then the number you find there only begins to start the years of eternity.
And that's endless, and that is awesome. So, hell is too hot. Eternity is too long. I think I'm going to stay on the side that I'm on. That's with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and then when people talk about, well, it's getting hotter than that outside, I like to tell them, I say, well, you don't know the you don't know nothing about the temperatures of flames, do you?
They really don't.
And especially since I like to take, in case I have to light my little propane grill or whatever, I like to carry a butane lighter with me. I say, okay. Mm-hmm. And then I start out and I say, see this flame on this lighter? I say, that's a yellow flame. That's called a cool flame. That burns about 2,000 degrees above zero. And then I say, you look at it, then there's an orange flame. That's like you see in a fireplace, you know, wood-burning fireplace. You'll see those.
Mm-hmm.
That burns at about 4,000 degrees to 6,000 degrees above zero. Then you got your red hot flames, like you find on your electric stove when you turn that thing up on high, the burner. Don't touch that. Mm-hmm. That's what they call red hot. That there is, that burns at 8,000 to 10,000 degrees above zero. Then you go from red hot to blue hot. That burns at 12,000 degrees above zero. Then it goes from blue hot to white hot. You've ever seen on a gas stove right by the jets there, they get those little white flames that shoot in there. Those burn at 14,000 degrees above.
Mm.
Then it goes from white hot to green hot, and those burn at 16,000 degrees above zero. Now, if you notice, all of those flames I've told you so far, yellow, orange, red, blue, white, and green, they all burn and give off some sort of light in different color wavelengths. But there's a final color of a final flame, which burns at 18,000 degrees minimum, and they never measured the top end of it. And it's called a black flame, and it burns without any light or any color, and it's called a black flame. And now that burns at 18,000 degrees minimum above zero. And the Bible tells us that in hell, it is outer darkness. And it says when the rich man was in hell, he was in fire and in torments. So if he was in fire and torments and Jesus said it is outer darkness, what color flames do you pray tell me is in hell?
Gotta be that black.
Now, if it's black flames, and they like to go around saying, well, it's hot as blank out there in the summertime. I like to tell them I like to light my flame on my little Bickler, and I say, okay, you say it's hotter out there. Why don't you stick your finger in this little yellow flame that only burns 2,000 degrees above zero for 60 seconds?
That's all, just 60 seconds. So the real fire, they be, you ain't going to want it on you for 15 seconds.
And mind you, that's only, and I say, now I'm only asking you to do it for 60 seconds. While hell is for eternity, and that's burning flames at 18,000 degrees. I'm trying to cool it off for you, only a flame of 2,000 degrees. I'm trying to be generous.
Being kind.
A little foretaste of hell? You want to talk about it being hotter than hell? Well, look, let's give you a little foretaste.
My goodness. That's a lot.
That usually stops that nonsense real quick.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else have a takeaway or even a question about today's message? And if you haven't yet, just press 1 on your screen and he'll open up your mic.
Nope, looks like nobody, so I guess we could go into the Bloodhound of Scripture, Pastor Bonnet, and see if you can find these verses. All righty. So are you ready, Pastor Bonnet?
I think so.
All right, here we go.
And it shall come to pass at the time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees and say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil.
Ooh, sounds like a little judgment going on. We'll hear that again.
And it shall come to pass at the time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil.
Yowch is right. He says he's going to punish them that are settled on their jeans, their lees. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and will punish the men that are settled on their lees that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. My listener, this one's an ouch this week.
All right. You think you know where that's at?
Is it Zechariah 1:12?
Not Zechariah. You had the 1 and 12 correct.
Not Zechariah. Zephaniah.
Zephaniah 1:12. That's right.
Zephaniah, not Zach. Because Zach will be.
Zephaniah 1:12. That's
Zephaniah.
Right.
I've never even heard of him.
Old Testament.
Oh, okay.
That's why it takes a pace for you to read your Old Testament.
Old Testament.
And what's interesting is he uses the word settled under Lee's, and it's the same brand name as the jeans that we wear today.
That's interesting right there. Wow.
That's good.
Well, we learn here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Especially if you want to learn anything Bible, check out the Sunday show, check out the Wednesday show, and check out the Thursday show, and you'll learn from these two scholars here. That's right.
I'm just a student of the word.
Ten and ten.
Yeah, I'd be the student.
Amen.
One of my partners, he's a fan of yours, Ali. He's always asking about Bonnet. Bonnet's gonna be on Monday. Bonnet's gonna be on Bonnet. Yeah, he's gonna be on. Yep.
Okay. Damn, come on and talk to us.
Ali. Yep.
Yeah. That's why the Sunday program and the Monday program is so good, because you got Kenneth Bonnet on it.
Yeah. So I just want to say hello to all the fans of the 6 Hours Radio Network, family, friends, and fans. Still praying for mankind, praying for the world, for these crazy ills that are going on. Also, there is formula for the little babies. A big shipment is headed to the U.S. So they're going to work that out, and they're ramping up the baby formula plants. Once they get that distributed and get those onto shelves, they're going to, expedite the productivity of the baby formula. They call it ramping up the plant to take out for the little baby so they can have their nourishment. So that's good for the little babies. And, And like I said, you can check us out 7 days a week. We're here for your enjoyment. Make sure you follow us on iHeartRadio for you Android users. Make sure you download the iHeart app and search Six Eyes Radio in the search, SIXEYES, space radio, RADIO. Press subscribe. For you Apple users, same thing. Search bar. You want to type in Six Eyes, SIXEYES, space radio, RADIO. You want to press subscribe, and you'll have us on demand.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. With that, we'll give you guys a chance to recuperate while we give you this week's verse that you got to sniff out by next Sunday. How you like that?
All right.
Come on with it. I'm tired.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Ooh, some good stuff for us to pay attention to. When the Spirit speaks unto the churches, we need to pay attention. So let us hear that bloodhound again.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Amen, and we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Wow, that indicates, Ms. McKinn, I've been advocating the necessity of it, being part of the church and all of that. So if God is talking to the church and you don't go to church and you're not the church, then I guess you can't hear God.
Amen.
That's kind of what that text kind of say, in a sense. I know we can go, if we put it back in its context, but,
Yeah, but the fun is, be warned, you might get pepper up your nose this week looking for that one.
Oh, I think because it's in that one should be in two locations. One for certain, which we should know, those that believe in the that has listened to Sister Ruth Bible Prophecy, they should remember which direction that one's in, because it deals with that.
And speaking of Ruth, how is Ruth?
Well, she's doing okay. She's just not feeling good today, so.
Okay, so we'll keep her off for the rest of the year till she gets better. But she always has a job. You know, pretty much anybody on here, you fire yourself.
We're not going to carry people to the gate. We're going to lift them up by their right hand and speak strength.
Yes.
And now that's two. I can't give y'all the third one because I appreciate. But there was one more lame person.
Well, I meant that in a good way.
No. I know you didn't mean it negatively, and I'm not saying that you did. So if that the way it came across, my apologies.
Yes, sir.
The third one is someone who was lame, and Jesus came to them. And so we're going to be talking about that coming up. The other two, one was brought to Jesus. One was brought to the gate where the presence of Jesus was supposed to be. And then the next one is Jesus came down the alley. We'll see what he said. So, all these messages dealing with moving beyond excuse, and no matter what your condition is, God is able to reverse it. He's able to better it. He's able to take us to where we need to be. And for him, he don't ask us why we're there or how we got there. He don't focus us on. He never focuses on the fall. His emphasis are on the getting up. And I think that's the beauty of the message of Christ. He really does look beyond our faults and see our needs. And because, truth be told, even the Christians, the born-again believers, we still have faults. But yet God still meet our needs. And that's the beauty of it. He looks beyond that. So because he's looking beyond our faults, what's wrong with us looking beyond it too? So that we can move beyond it. How's your mental today? Brother Six, you asked us to start that and to be conscious of it. So in keeping up with or trying to keep up with something that you said, how's your mental today? Hello? Hello? Are we disconnected, Brother Charles? I mean, Missionary Ken?
No, he's still here.
Well, how's your mental, Missionary Ken?
Well,
he might be on
it's
mute.
There. It's good, and I'm thanking the Lord. That's all I say, it's doing good.
Me too. Mine's doing good. Had two wonderful services already. This makes the third one, and I'm excited. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful, and I'm just waiting on God to just keep pushing me higher in the things that he's doing. So I'm thankful. And nobody else is responding, but we pray that your mental health is doing good. Over the past couple of weeks, we done had some major tragedies where we had some mass shooting taking place here in America. That lets us know that prayer is still needed for people in our country, in the world. But we have to pray for these communities because, you know, this don't happen just overnight. It may happen at a particular nighttime, but something had to build up. Something had to build up to get a person to go to that point or feel like that was the only option. And so the thought process behind that is what we're praying that God will help people to be sober-minded. The Bible tells us to be sober-minded. And so we want others to be sober-minded too. So let's be mindful of the way we pray, how we're praying for others, and that we are praying for others. Because, I mean, the truth of the matter is we get caught up in us, and we forget, we get caught up in self, excuse me, and we forget about us as a whole. So let's just be mindful of those things. And Missionary Ken, you going to close us out in prayers?
Well, I could or you could. It doesn't matter.
You've done such an excellent job in doing that and giving our contribution information to those that like to contribute to this station.
All right. Well, why don't I do that? And then we could go out with the rest of our day here. All right. First off, let's give the contribution information. If anybody out there would like to help us continue to stay on the air, remember, it may be free for you to listen, but it is not free for us. It does cost, so we would appreciate your love gift. And if you wish to help us out, there are several methods you may use. First of all, for you PayPal users, you go to paypal.com, enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. For you Cash App users, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Finally, if you wish to send a check or money order, contact Brother Six at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line, put donation information requested. In the body of your email, tell him that you are requesting the information to send a check or money order, and you are requesting the pay to and the snail mail information for a check or money order so that you can send your love gift that way. And once again, God will richly bless you for your love gift. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And as Six already told you, you can get our programming on demand 7 days a week by going to your smartphone or tablet, typing in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S Radio, R-A-D-I-O, in the podcast section of your smartphone or tablet, then clicking subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. For you Android or Apple users, just get the app iHeartRadio downloaded into your device and then going to iHeartRadio and entering Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio, R-A-D-I-O, and then click subscribe, and you also can have us on demand 7 days a week. Amen. And so with that, let us pray as we get out of here. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus, now for this program. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing, your control, your wisdom as we went through this broadcast. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the people that have listened. We ask you, Lord, for that soul who is nearest hell, that you'd help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And now, Lord Jesus, as we depart this place but not your presence, we ask you, Lord, to go with us, Lord Jesus, to the next appointed time. For it's in your name we do pray and ask. Amen and amen. All right. For the Six Eyes Radio Network, Brother Six Eyes, Princess Nikhail, and all the team here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, I want to say God bless. Good afternoon, good night, wherever you may be. Have a good time, and we'll catch you Monday for the Monday Motivational Monday here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 9 p.m. God bless everybody.
Amen. God bless you all.